here's the trap that most young coaches actually fall into is demonstrating themselves. Whenever it was time to show the next progression, they would jump in there. What I had to train them into is like, no, showing is actually showing improvement, not showing perfection.
Welcome to The Hours. This is a podcast for coaches at all levels who want to think, teach, and lead better. I'm Mark Cascio, joined by Tyler Costin, and we call this The Hours because this is where we get to deep dive and have real conversations and spend real time on the things that actually matter. You can get the show notes and tools from today's episode in our weekly newsletter, so check out the link below. Let's get into this week's episode.
Hey, I'm Tyler. This is Mark. We are Savvy Coaching.
Today's going to be a great day.
Keeping the main thing the main thing.
Shout out Dick DiVinzio.
Stay savvy, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Stay savvy. Hey, coaches. Right now, we are going through our 20-day Art of Coaching Challenge, where we're helping develop teaching tools and skills to help make you a better coach. We're going to dive deep into one of these tools, one of these arts of coaching that we call show, don't tell. Mark, when you were a young coach and the first time that you were given leadership of a gym, you probably planned for it. You probably designed the drill or thought about your favorite drill. When you presented the drill, did you spend more time telling the players about the drill, or did you spend more time showing them the drill?
Yeah, I would say if it's the first time, I probably did do more show, but I would say the trap that I probably fell into or the blind spot is once we've done something, I would tell them what we're about to do, or I'd tell them the objective and then expect them to do it. Or gosh, we've probably all been here as a coach where you're like, oh, we've talked about that, but we still make that mistake, or we talk about that and we're not executing that as well. So I'd say first time, probably show, but every time after that, I probably did too much telling.
I really am glad you differentiated that, because here's the trap that most young coaches actually fall into is demonstrating themselves. And I saw this time and time again as I was training young directors to run camps with PGC, is whenever it was time to show the next progression, they would jump in there and be talking and sweat it out the entire time and like just be so in their little process. But what I had to train them into is like, no, showing is actually showing improvement, not showing perfection. So either they would demonstrate it so people would see it right, or they would select the best, most experienced college player from the group of athletes to come and demonstrate it. While the little ninth graders, like, they have no idea what they're doing. I said, really, the art of show, don't tell is show the corrections. So bring out someone that you can actually show improvement. Let's say we're showing a boom 1-2 footwork into a pull-up, right? Bring someone out that's getting it wrong. Then help the group observe the corrections that you're making, and then show the difference between them getting it wrong, getting it right, show that improvement. And then when they see the contrast between correct and incorrect, and then the growth, they're more likely to be able to self-correct themselves. So I think that's another great aspect of show, don't tell, is don't spend too much time talking about it. Make sure they can visually see it. Once they visually see it, don't just show them perfection, show them correction. And then lastly, check for understanding by having them show you, and usually give them some redos. And by having them show you, it'd be like, okay, we've done this demo with player Mark. Now, JV team, come out here and get set up and show me that you know how to do this. And if they can't set it up, be like, oh, nope, let's give another chance. Varsity, come show me how it's set up. That's what it should look like. Okay, JV, show me how it should be set up. Now you show me that we can organize this correctly. Let's go and get to work. So I think those are all aspects of show, don't tell.
Yeah, I like the idea too of pulling somebody in that's not necessarily going to do it perfect and giving the correction, because then you're teaching the whole gym, but also it creates some buy-in for all of your athletes of like, oh, Tyler just did this thing and got better at it in like 1 minute of coach, mm-hmm. Correcting him. So I'm going to now go get better, instead of you have a perfect rep and it's like, oh, I have no idea how they got there. Like, what were the steps that they had to go through? What was the learning process? So I love that. It's to, because I think by default as coaches, again, it probably goes back to wanting practice to be clean. is like we pull the best example out there to show them the perfect example, or that's why a coach might show instead of like, let's pull somebody right in the middle that has some meat on the bone where we can teach them, show them the improvement to increase buy-in.
Yeah. Also, there's an added value of staff development there. A lot of times we just trust that our staff are going to teach the things in the way that we want it taught when we're not around. And I think that that is a very dangerous assumption. A lot of times show your staff exactly how you want something to be taught as opposed to telling them how you want it to be taught. A great example of this, I think, is last night. We were trying to teach exit screens through FIBA 3-on-3, that if you pass the ball outside the three-point line, your exit is going to be followed up into a step-up ball screen. And telling my staff would be, hey, I want you to lock the start of every possession with a pass from the smile into an exit screen. I told them that. I trust it's going to happen. It may or may not happen, and probably what's going to be taught isn't going to happen exactly like I would like. But instead, I bring all of the coaches and the players in and show it, but don't just show how it should look. Show myself teaching it. So Mark passes and does an exit screen. I show that that's a violation and a turnover, so it's the other team's ball. When Mark does do an exit screen, but does it with a quiet screen, not a noisy screen, meaning that he's not getting his feet into the ground to show the referee that he's still, meaning that he's not verbally calling the name of the player with the ball. I correct that. Show it, meaning that I show how we teach them creating space using the screen laterally to drag the hedge defender before they hunt an attack. So those would all be showing things. I could verbalize those things, but until I show how we actually teach it, we're not actually going to be aligned in how things are being done at every basket.
Yeah. Oftentimes at practice, we like to split up into groups. And this is what you're referencing too, is right. You give assistants ownership where I say, hey, you're the head coach of your group. Mm-hmm. But if there's ever a time where we're all together and we're showing what we're about to do, right? And we're explaining what we're about to do. I'm doing it just as much for you, the coach, as I am for the players, because inevitably you're going to have to go back and you're going to have to correct something, or we're going to plus one something on top of that. So don't think that I'm doing all the work and then the players are going to be able to just go and do it perfectly. I'm teaching you my teaching points so you can go do it. And then, you know, one tool that I have used in practice as well is, like you said, hey, was it being done? Like, some, not all. What I would do is just stop the gym, blow the whistle, and just say, hey, everybody rotate to the basket to their right. Coaches, stay where you are. So I got to coach every single group eventually in there. And then, you know, we talk about mentoring or developing your staff. What's really important is the debrief after that. I think you got to normalize that and say, hey, Tyler, I noticed your group wasn't doing this time. Here's how it have, you know, whenever they got to my basket, here's how we address that. Whether you're a first-time listener or a regular listener, I want to thank you for being here. And if there's something that you've heard and you want to go deeper with us, the absolute best way is to join our Savvy Basketball membership. You can get ongoing support from Tyler and I and our exclusive community, but you also get our entire classroom of courses and weekly live coaching calls. So if you have questions on offense, defense, player development, practice design, culture building, anything that you need support on, we're here to help. And the best way to get that help is through our Savvy Basketball membership. I have our 7-day free trial on. If you want to give it a shot, the link is in the description below. All right, back to the episode.
Yeah, really good. Here's some additional show don't tells. Film. So in film, I'll give two. First one, show it actually being done right in film. So oftentimes film is just a list of clips where we messed up, and we'll tell them how they messed up. Show don't tell would be like, show them what it should look like. Show them some positives, show them doing it right. And then you can tell them how we can get closer to right in other clips. So I think that's one opportunity in film of show don't tell. And then another thing that I think is often missed for coaches is actual player development technique clips. Oftentimes in film for teams, we're just showing schemes, X's and O's, spacing, actions, how we're guarding certain things, how we're setting up presses, press breaks, or inbounds. I think there's a huge missed opportunity to actually show your players how you want them to play from an individual skill and technique standpoint. I shared this on our live training the other day, and I was doing it with my daughter yesterday. Rajon Rondo Jr. is an eighth grader in Kentucky. Did you watch that clip, Mark?
I did. Yeah, I went and watched him.
Crazy. Eighth grader in Kentucky. As an eighth grader, plays with the most unbelievable pace and cleverness, unique offensive angles, vision. I sat down with my daughter, who aspires to be a Division I college basketball player, and we just watched it over and over and over again. And I showed her, here is the body position you want to use when dribbling against contact. Here is where you can use pace change and offhand engagement against pressure. You know, here is where you can drag a defender out at an angle before you actually get north and south. So that's a show don't tell. Whereas I can just tell her, go to a ball handling workout. There's a big difference there between being able to dribble and understanding that context.
Yeah. All right. Another application of show don't tell, scouting. Mm-hmm. How many times do we stand in front of the team and say, Tyler's a really good shooter. He can put the ball on the floor a little bit. He's a good ball handler. He can pass it. He's a good on ball defender as well. Just show him. Just show the clips. And if you had to show him, like the number one way that Tyler is going to influence the game. Let's say Tyler is going to influence the game by shooting. I would show the team how he gets his shots. Does he get them in transition? Does he get them off of stagger? Does he give them, you know, off advantage, whatever it is, just show them that. And then I always like to follow up, like usually college, we had the 2-day scout. So maybe Wednesday it was more broad. Like this is how they impact the game. And then Thursday, it is how to defend. And I want to find clips of people doing this, of people closing off Tyler off the line or flying at him to make him dribble, whatever, switching his screens and making him get his catch really, really high. Whatever it is, show it being done well instead of telling them what you want them to do in the scout.
So good. Okay, here's another show don't tell. Gosh, this is show don't tell is good, guys and gals, people, humans. Last night, again, I brought the whole group into our team room prior to practice. And this was a big group, 30 plus kids. And I had identified an opportunity in our group of athletes where they were getting very upset and frustrated when they made mistakes. They're getting down, they're getting sad. And certain leaders in the group were getting particularly down on themselves. I think we've all experienced that. And was negatively impacting the environment and the energy of the entire group. And I told him about it. In previous trainings and practices, I had said, don't get down. Be aware of your body language. This is how you should respond to mistakes. And it didn't really impact us. And so I realized I have to show them. So I brought them into the team room last night prior to our practice, prior to our training. And we played a really simple and silly game called 1-2-3, where Mark says one, I say two, Mark says three, and then I have to start back over at one. And we go faster and faster till someone messes up. And then whoever messes up is the loser, okay? They put an L in the air, and they have to go around and find another L to play. And whoever doesn't mess up is the winner. They put a number one in the air. They find it. So there's lots of energy. There's laughter. There's humor. There's failure. After about 2 minutes of playing this game, I stopped the group and I said, who made a mistake there? Every hand went up. I said, how did we as a group respond to those mistakes? And they're like, oh, we're smiling. We laughed about it. It was fun. I said, that is how it should feel on court when you make a mistake. I showed them the demeanor and energy that we should have when we mess up and make a mistake, because that's what learning looks like. As opposed to telling them, embrace the journey of mistakes. That's just telling. I show them this is how we respond. And then for what it's worth, if you want to use this, the follow-up was we then sat down with our journals. All of our players bring journals, notebooks to every practice. I said, write down your commitment of how you're committing to responding to mistakes. Describe how you respond to the mistake on this little game we played and commit to doing that on court. Everyone wrote it down. I think that's an extension of showing there because they knew what it felt like. And then we went on court and we had one of the loudest, most communicative, enjoyable practices that I can remember. Players and parents commented on it. And I think a lot of it had to do with showing and not telling before we even entered into the environment.
Yeah, I'd say the 1-2-3 game is a great way just to prime them, right, for messiness. But also on our live training, this was we just were connecting with our coaches, and then you had a really good segue of like, oh, this is a good time to for like message of the day. It's how to model for your team. So it's one that I think even showing them in the 1-2-3 game is a version of giving them the experience, right? But then if you don't model that, you're really just telling them, like you're telling them what you want them to do instead of showing them how you should respond to adversity as well. So somebody does make a mistake. Do you smile? Do you have the ability to coach them with some like positive tone and body language? Because if you get negative, then you're actually not showing them what you want them to do as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good. And by extension, I asked all of our coaches to share their commitments. And all of their commitments were around positive response to errors of the players or encouragement of mistakes. And so I think that created that safety net before we went out into the gym, which is a place of competition and performance.
Yeah. All right. We'll get out of here on a story that happened last night on the importance of showing instead of telling. So we had a game last night. For those that don't know, I'm coaching my daughter's team right now, and we won big, you know. So this is seventh grade girls basketball. We scored like 40 points maybe. And my daughter gets in the
car. It was like 120 in high school. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So we get in the car and we're driving home, and my daughter's in the back seat, and she's like, I had to have had 20 tonight. And I go, no, you had 8. And she goes, no, she thought I was joking. So she kind of like didn't say anything. And then she's like, Papa, do you remember how many I had? And I was like, yeah, you had 8. She's like, no, I didn't. I'm like, no, you had 8. Here's the scorebook. I'm going to show you. You had 8 points. So I could have told her, and she just felt like she had 20, which is awesome. I hated the burst her bubble, but that's the value of being able to show and not just tell.
Every player I've ever coached thinks they had more points than they actually had. I have yet to coach a player that thinks they had less points than they had.
Yeah. I told her, hey, you might've had 20 shots, but you actually, you only scored 8 points.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Okay. Action. We all plan our practice. This is the action challenge for you. We all plan our practices. We spend a lot of time on it. And oftentimes we plan our practice and we know exactly what drill or game that we want them to play. The challenge is spend more time on how you plan to introduce that game, demo that game, demo that drill, how quickly what standard you want to hold for that, what you want to show during that drill, what you want to highlight, not through telling, but through showing. So maybe I want to hold the standard of communication. And so when we do our 4v2 split game, I want to show the other, all players and the coaches, how I hold the standard for communication. That's what I want to show. So don't just plan your progressions, plan what you want to show as your standards that hopefully filters into your culture within your game. That's my challenge for you going into practice today or this week.
Yeah, a good framework for that is 3 things. A good friend of mine always has 3 things. We've always taken that approach in any type of game or drill in practice. And that's a great way that I've used to train my assistants is, okay, Tyler, you are setting up this. What are your 3 things? You should have those 3 things, whether it's a standard, whether it's a teaching point, whether it's a setup, whatever it is. You should have those. And that means that you're prepped, you're ready to go, limit all your teaching to there. And then you can plus one from there, which is another episode that we did a couple weeks ago. If you didn't listen to that one, check it out. But our challenge to you is to show and don't tell. So thanks for listening. This is The Hours. We are Savvy Basketball. Stay savvy.
Stay savvy.
Thanks for making it to the end of The Hours. And before I let you go, I want to make sure you can continue to learn with us in between episodes by joining our newsletter. You'll get weekly coaching insights to your inbox, which includes coaching notes from every episode. No spam, just clear, practical tools that'll make you a better coach. You can sign up at SavvyCoach.com. Stay savvy.